Let us pray. O God, speak to us once again, through your word, our neighbor, and the whole of your creation. Give us ears to hear, to reflect, and to act for justice, for peace, and for your beloved community. Amen. The first scripture reading is from Jeremiah. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert towards my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them, for my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, into the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation. Yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. From Psalm 14, we have this responsive reading. To the leader of David, fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God.
They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one.
Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the Lord.
There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous.
You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge.
Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and in the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost."
Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So I learned something online this week. I was researching about how to be a better preacher. And one of the things that I learned is, it was a very, wasn't the most sophisticated site. But one of the things that I learned is that if you use visual aids, people are less likely to go to sleep. So in lieu of a PowerPoint, because I'm way too lazy to do that, I have some volunteers, some visual aids that I've kind of already picked out. So my volunteers, can you guys come up? You'll need to bring these chairs too. And I feel like I lost some of my volunteers. They may be joining us late. They're the riffraff, so they're probably going to be joining us late. So you guys can sit these here. And I need John and Joe to be up here. Joe, can you raise your sign high so that everybody can see it? So Joe is this like high-powered corporate lawyer who splits his time in between Nashville and Memphis, okay? And then John, and they're always grumpy people, by the way. John, can you raise your sign very high? John is a theologian, but he's not just like one of those theologians that like no one ever hears about, but he is, not that there are those theologians, he is a theologian that writes a lot of popular books. And so a lot of folks have read them. They're like hopefully more theological sound version of the Left Behind series. And he is kind of a know-it-all. Okay? So you got John and Joe. And then we have the riffraff. I may need to bring in some other riffraff. Can I have some riffraff? Can y'all join me in the riffraff? Riffraff are sitting down here. I notice John and Joe take the best seats, right? And this is a Sunday school class, okay? And so you know how in Sunday school or before Sunday school, you know, you have coffee hour, right? And folks are associating with one another. And it's this weird thing because they don't let you choose. In this church, they don't let you choose like we do. Our Sunday school class. Everybody's got to be in the same Sunday school class together. So people are talking. Riffraff is talking. You can imagine Riffraff is kind of hanging out with each other. And then John and Joe are kind of hanging out with each other. And they're talking, whispering, telling funny stories. Because part of being a volunteer, you just have to mime what I'm doing. Okay, yeah, so pretend that, yes, thank you. Need a little help. So they're whispering back and forth to each other. And John goes over to Joe, like kind of whisper, like, yes. Joe, you know what I heard? You can put your signs down. I think people know who you are now. So John goes over to Joe and says, "Joe, you know what I heard? So my wife's sister's aunt told me that the pastor was out all night last night until 4 a.m. He was drinking and partying, and they said he was dancing on tables. And you know who he was with? You just miming it. Yeah. You know who he was with? He was with Destiny, you know, the dancer that has started coming to our Sunday school class. Destiny the dancer. Some of her colleagues. And then there's this group that's kind of formed with my wife's work. You know, she works at the immigration center, and some of those folks have come along too. And so Joe whispers, he just shakes his head. Shakes his head, and he says, you know, he's probably not even prepared. Look at that hair. He obviously didn't go down. He didn't go to shower. And someone needs to tell him to cut his hair. It's way too long and scraggly. And he's not using Diva Curl. And then John comes back and says, Yeah, you know, my wife tells me it is really hard to work with these immigrants when they're first coming into the country. They have nothing, and yet they're going out and spending all their money on partying until 4 a.m. She says, I don't understand, why aren't they saving for their money, saving their money? And Joe says, you know what? Last week, we invited the pastor to tea, and he said he didn't have time. But he obviously has time to go out on Friday night. He invited us to go out with his riffraff, and of course, we declined it. We don't take part in such behavior. So John and Joe are talking, and you know how some people, my father's kind of like this, some people, their quiet voice is a little bit louder than they think. So when my father is in a restaurant and he has a cell phone volume for his voice, and when the phone rings, he says, hello, this is George Craig. John and Joe are kind of like that. Their quiet voices are a bit louder. And so the pastor is hearing everything they say. And even the riffraff are hearing it a little as well. And so the pastor comes over and he says, hey, John and Joe, how y'all doing?
We're all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know what? I got a story for y'all. And Joe, I think you're going to relate to this. So, Joe, you know what it's like to be a poor farmer in the Dominican Republic, right?
Yes. No, you don't.
Yeah. You know what it's like to be a poor farmer in the Dominican Republic, being a high-powered lawyer and everything. You know what it's like to be that. And then, you know, you got some sheep or some goats that you're tending to, maybe about, say, 100, just pulling a number out of nowhere, of course. And, you know, you doing your count in the evening after everybody's come back in, and you realize that you're missing one. And you go out into the forest, and you search everywhere, and you don't care what it takes. You get poison ivy and poison oak. You get all scratched up from different thorns, and you even go as far, because of this one goat, to cross over into the Haiti border. And all of a sudden, you find it. Little bitty thing, so scared, in a little thicket, and you pull it out and you put it on your shoulders. It's wiggling, so it's not as cool as it looks in the pictures. You put it on your shoulders and you walk back to the clearing with your motorbike and you ride it back to the village, and then you guys have a huge party. You call everybody in the village and you celebrate with a goat stew. You know what that's like, right? Joe and John are looking at each other like the pastor is crazy. Obviously, they don't know what it's like. As they're looking at each other with odd faces, one of the riffraff raises their hand, not the dancer, and says, hey, pastor, I heard your story. I heard you talking. One of the Haitian refugees and says, or immigrants, and says, you know, that happened to my cousin a couple years ago, and that was a crazy party. Yes. And then the pastor says, so, yep, there's more partying than this in heaven when an outsider is brought in, is welcomed into the community, than any party for an insider who don't have to be brought into the community. Still blank looks. You are good at this. the pastor says, let me tell you another story. So, John, I know you'll understand this. You know what it's like for a prostitute who comes back around 5 a.m. in the morning. She'd been working all night, and she comes into her little bitty New York apartment, and she pulls out the money that she made for the evening, and she flips through it, counting it all, because she knew she made about $1,000. And as she's counting, she realizes she's missing a $100 bill. And so she sets the money down, and she turns on all the lights, and she wakes up her roommate, and she texts her colleagues and asks, you know, where could I put this money? And she turns over the entire house, looks all day, even though she hasn't slept all night because she's been working. And about 5 p.m., when she's been up for over 24 hours, she looks one more time in that little secret pocket in her purse, and she finds that $100 bill, and she kind of squeals, and she texts everyone, hey, y'all, I found my 100. Tonight, we're going out on me. and a barrage of GIFs and memes come into our phone on the group text. You know, there's the Oprah one where she's doing this. There's funny pictures with dogs that all say congrats, and everyone's so excited. And they all go out, even picking up some strangers along the way, even though they've had no sleep, to party the night away to celebrate her finding her $100 bill. Bless you. And while the pastor is talking, John is texting Joe. What the heck is he talking about? Maybe the session should talk to him about his preaching and his teaching, because it's not relatable at all. People are going to leave the churches if he keeps talking like this, especially from the pulpit. During the whole time, the folks the pastor had gone out with the night before, Destiny and her friends, the immigrants and the few randoms, have been listening. And one of Destiny's friends says, "Yo, pastor, I heard your story. That happened to my girl last week." And the pastor says, looking right at John and Joe, "Like I said, this is the kind of cosmic partying that happens when an outsider changes their minds and chooses to risk being in a relationship with all of us, the church, and God." And the pastor, apparently, he likes stories, so he keeps talking. He tells a third story, and John and Joe can finally relate to it because they grew up with, they raised two boys, and it's a little more relatable. You may have heard of it. Some people call it the prodigal son, but the lectionary leaves it out, and I don't know that we have time for that today. But all these stories that the pastor tells, they have a huge party at the end. They begin with grumbling, John and Joe, and end with a celebration. And I know we've heard these stories a million times, the lost coin and the lost sheep, and we think about Jesus being the shepherd and the meek woman, but I think that if we continue with that type of reading, we're leaving something on the table. Because you see, when Jesus was telling these stories to the Pharisees and to the scribes, this was not at all what they could relate to. And in fact, they were just saying, criticizing Jesus because he was hanging out with poor folks and tax collectors. And so what is the first story he brings up but a story about a poor man, a shepherd, going out to find his sheep? And then his second story is even harder for them to connect with, and probably even makes them angrier, because he mentions a woman who they think of as not more than an object. And I guess I should say something. The sinner, or the riffraff here, kind of represent the sinners in our gospel story. But sinners are a little bit different than we think about. We're well acquainted with what a sinner is, you know, in the Christian church. But in Luke's context, he's really talking about anyone who's living outside of the bounds of the law, or anyone who's living outside of what the cultural norms are for the time. Immigrants, dancers. And so the question here is not necessarily a question of morality, but a little bit different. Because as far as I can tell, last time I checked, sheep and coins cannot be inherently sinful or inherently good or bad. They can't choose to confess and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord or Savior. No, this is more of a story about perspective changing and attitude changing, going from grumbling to partying, from isolation to community. And the invitation is not just for the outsiders and the sinners and the lost sheep and the lost coin, but for the distinguished and the wealthy and the powerful to lay down their judgment and get on the dance floor. Tony Campolo, do you know who that is? Some of you know who that is, yeah. Tony Campolo is this, he's a sociologist. He's a professor emeritus at Eastern University. So used to work at Eastern University, a Christian college right outside of Philadelphia. He tells a story. He had a speaking gig in Honolulu that he just, you know, had to go to. And he gets to Honolulu, gets into the hotel, goes to bed for the night. And at 3 a.m., he wakes up in the middle of the night because of the time change. And he's just really hungry. So he goes out, and the only thing that he can find open is this little bitty diner. Walks in, there's no tables and chairs, just a bar. So he saddles up to the bar, and he says he doesn't want to take a look, doesn't want to touch the menu because grease has one of those plastic laminated menus and grease is kind of piled up on top of it. And a guy comes in who has a dirty apron on. He's pretty large and he's scratching his head and he's got on a name tag that says Harry. And he says, what can I get for you? And Tony says, I'll just have a coffee and a donut. So Harry says, okay, he pours the coffee, and then he looks at his hand, and he wipes it off, and he grabs the donut and gives it to him. Puts down a napkin first, you know, and then gives it to him. And Tony just kind of rolls his eyes, and he starts eating his donut, and then it's about 3:30 by that time, 11 or 12 prostitutes come in. They've just gotten off work. And as I just said, there's no table or chairs, and so they all just surround him. And they take up all the chairs, and they're loud, and they're yelling, and Tony can't help but to hear this one conversation beside him. There's two girls talking, and the girl beside him says, guess what? Tomorrow's my birthday. By the way, tomorrow's my birthday. He says, guess what? She says, guess what? Tomorrow's my birthday. And the girl goes, what do you want me to do about it? You want a cake or a party? She says, no, I'm just telling you. Tomorrow's my birthday, and I'm going to be 39. She goes, so what? I just wanted to share it with you. I've never had a party before, and I sure don't expect one now. And the girls keep carrying on, and finally they leave, and Tony is just kind of taking it all in. And so he kind of flags down Harry. Harry's got some real issues with his head, and he comes over, and he's like, yeah? Tony says, that girl that was sitting right beside me, what's her name? He said, oh, Agnes. He said, yeah, does she come around here much? He said, oh, they all come in every single night. He said, well, did you know that tomorrow is Agnes's birthday and she's never had a birthday party before? And Harry says, well, no, I didn't know. He said, what if we throw Agnes a birthday party here at the diner? We get some decorations, we get a nice cake, and we celebrate her. And Harry calls one of the girls from the back in the kitchen and says, hey, this guy wants to throw a birthday party for Agnes. And so the girl in the back knows a lot of the girls who come nightly, and she gets the word out so that everybody's going to get there at 3 a.m. And Tony comes early, decorates, and has a big sign that says, happy birthday, Agnes. And by 3 o'clock in the morning, he said that there are wall-to-wall prostitutes in the diner and him. And it is loud, and it is reckless, and it is joyous. And about 3:30, right on time, Agnes comes in, and the whole place erupts and says, happy birthday, Agnes! And they start singing for her, and she's just in awe. And Harry lights the candles on the cake and brings it out, and they're singing. And when she sees the cake, she starts bawling almost uncontrollably, to a place where she can't talk. And Harry's yelling at her, Agnes, you got to blow these candles out. And she's just kind of crying. And finally, he gets fed up, so he blows out the candles for her. And he says, here, Agnes, cut the cake. And she hesitates for a moment. He says, Agnes, cut the cake! And she turns and looks at Tony, and she says, mister, do you mind if I don't cut this cake? And he said, well, it's your cake. You can do whatever you want to it. And she said, well, I've never had a cake before, and I really want to show my mother. And he said, well, do you have to do it right now? And she said, she just lives two doors down. Let me just go and show my mother. And he said, okay. He goes, I promise I'll be right back. And so she lifts up the cake, and Tony says she acts like it's the Holy Grail. And she pushes her way through the crowd and out the door. And the whole diner is silent. And Tony thinks, maybe now is the time that we should pray. He said it seemed like a good idea at the time. And so him and a room full of prostitutes are praying for Agnes, and that the good news might be felt and seen and heard in this place. And as he says amen, Harry says, Campolo, you said that you were a sociologist, but you're not a sociologist, you're a preacher. What kind of church do you preach at? And Tony said he had this revelatory moment where he said something that I'm not going to repeat in this room because it's not appropriate for all the age groups that we have here. But he basically said, I go to a church that throws birthday parties at 3:30 a.m. for prostitutes. And Harry said, no, no you don't. I said, yeah. He goes, because that is a church that I would join. And somehow the story kind of makes me think about the stories that the pastor was telling to John and Joe, and they also sound a lot like the parties that Jesus was talking about in our gospel reading this morning. And I have this hunch and a big hope, and maybe that maybe not in the distant future, but somewhat soon, that we would be so bold as to all just get up and start partying it out. And that we might be a church that is accused all around town of welcoming sinners and eating with them and throwing wild parties in the wee hours of the morning, just like Jesus did. Amen.